I felt the bile coming up in my throat. Then Spring was bellowing in anger.
You'll do as you're damn well told, mister. Now get those yellows up on deck with their shackles on. Lively, damn you, do you hear?
And presently, the hands were driving up the yellow girls, fastening leg irons about their ankles and herding them together by the mizzenmast. Spring and Sullivan were by the wheel, the latter pointing to the brig.
We'll have us shooting us up in 5 minutes, he was shouting. We can't run, skipper. We can't fight. We're crippled, damn it.
We can fight, mister. Spring's scar was flaming. We've settled the sloop, haven't we? What's that but a measly brig? Do you want me to strike her?
Look at her, cries Sullivan. She's got 30 guns if she's got one.
I always knew he was a sensible chap.
I'll fight her, though, says the idiot Spring. I haven't made this cruise to be towed into New Orleans by that pack of longshore loafers. But we'll make that nigger rubbish safe first, and if we fight and fail, there won't be a black hide aboard to show against us. Now, get the chain into them!
Sullivan looked as though he would burst.
It won't do. They're too damn close. They'll see them drop. What if they do? No niggers, no felony. They can make what they like of the ship, with a damned equipment law, but they can't lay a hand on you or me. Now I'm telling you, mister, get that chain rove through!
And four of the hands came aft, dragging a massive chain, which they laid by the starboard rail. Then they herded the wenches over, and began to pass the chain between their legs, above the shackles, so it linked them together. They made the chain fast, then forced the girls to lie flat, and by main force lifted the chain onto the rail.
"Steady there!" bawls Spring. "Hold it so, till I give the word!"
I don't bilk at much. I watched them blowing sepoys from the ends of guns at Cornpore with a keen interest, but I confess that Spring's method of disposing of incriminating evidence made me gulp. The wenches screamed and writhed in terror. Once that chain was pushed over, they would be hurtled across the rail by its weight and sink like stones. Spring obviously hoped he could fight the Yankee off. He'd only push his slaves over in the last extremity. But I was sure Sullivan was right. We couldn't hope to fight the brig. Somehow that madman had to be stopped, or he'd have all our heads in the noose. If there's one thing that will make my limbs work in a crisis, it is the thought of self-preservation. I found myself walking across to the chest of arms by the main mast. Two of the hands were loading pistols and passing them out. I thrust a couple into my belt. Then, seeing all eyes were fixed either on the pursuing brig or the squealing unfortunates shackled by the rail, I dropped down the main hatch onto the slave deck. I had some frenzied notion of what I was going to do and found myself scampering aft, then pulling up by the after companion, swithering and cursing. Spring's bellowing almost directly overhead had me jumping in alarm. Squinting up the companion, I could see him at the wheel. He was roaring to the gun crews, urging them to their stations, but they were ready to strike. Then I heard the mate's voice shouting at Spring, suddenly cut off by the crack of a pistol shot.
Take that, damn you! Shouts Spring. Stand away from him! You there! Get to those tackles, or by God you'll get the next round!
And, thinks I, if he's daft enough to turn a gun on Sullivan, there's no stopping him except by the same way. And by God, if ever a man needed a bullet in the skull, it was J.C. Spring. But I daren't do it. It wasn't safe. Suppose I missed? Spring wouldn't. Suppose the crew raised objections? Well, if they didn't, the Yankee Navy would. They'd be just the kind of idiots to consider it murder. One way and another, I couldn't risk it. And I stood there, sweating in panic, torn between my terrors. Then, from astern, a gun boomed, and from overhead there was a crash of breaking timber and shouts, and before the echo had died, I was tearing back along the hold and up the main hatch. I looked aft. Spring was writhing on the deck. Sullivan was face down in the scuppers, and the after rail was a milling scene of men running every which way. Another shot from the brig's bow chasers came whistling through the mainsail. She was close up now, and turning to port to show her starboard guns. There was a yell of alarm from the men aft, and then hands were hauling at the flag lanyard. With Spring gone, everyone knew what had to be done. I strode over to the men at the rail, who were still gripping the chain, and in my parade ground voice ordered them to bring it inboard smartly. They obeyed without a second's pause, and I patted the yellow sluts on the shoulder, assuring them that all was well now, and I would see they came to no harm. I trusted this would go a little way to ensuring that I came to no harm myself.